Blog Talk Radio.
This is the RF Radio Show with OJ and Dreadfish.
Good evening, everybody. It's 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and as always, you're listening to Radio RF. I'm Dreadfish, here with my co-host, ETOJ. So
now,
today, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know last week we told you that May was Mental Health Awareness Month. I found out that it's also autoimmune awareness, arthritis awareness, lupus awareness, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. Apparently it's all sorts of other awareness months going on. May's pretty busy.
Oh, sounds like a good month for awareness of a lot of things. And, you know, one of the things that most of these share in common is they're all generally invisible. And so today we decided to talk about invisible disabilities or invisible illnesses. And so, as you may know, invisible disabilities are disabilities that are not immediately apparent. You might notice something different, but it's just not really obvious that something's wrong. And there are a lot of examples, and we'll go into a few of them. But right off the top, we have things like we mentioned in past episodes, mental illnesses. Clinical depression can be very very hidden. It's not obvious. Somebody might just seem disinterested and lazy or something, but there's a lot more to it. We have...
Hello? I think you dropped, guys. Sorry about that. So today I'll end up giving some personal testimony because I have Crohn's disease, which is one of the big invisible ones. So there's a lot of them, actually. And I will have to say this, I think Crohn's disease is probably one of the more understood and less socially accepted of the invisible diseases. I know in the last 5 years, the amount of awareness I've seen, even just through commercial for medication for the disease, has skyrocketed, unlike a lot of these other diseases. And obviously, Facebook is a great way to learn about these diseases and the people who suffer them. And it's probably one of the main places that I do. I mean, I don't even have cable anymore, so I don't even know what a commercial is anymore. I remember the last time that I've had TV, there were commercials about, like, Crohn's medications and stuff. So at least it's something when I do bring up that I have Crohn's disease, people are able to understand what I mean by that. And it looks like dread facts. So let's have him finish his thought before I start giving some personal testimony.
Okay, sorry, my phone keeps wanting to drop calls pretty regularly. So, I don't know. Smartphones, never had that problem before. I was mentioning chronic fatigue syndrome, which it's one of those idiopathic diseases where they diagnose you with it whenever they can't find any other reason for your chronic fatigue. So that's obviously very frustrating. Don't even know what's causing it. And similarly, we have fibromyalgia, which is it's heightened chronic pain and response to pain and that sort of thing in the body. And it also ties into fatigue and sleep disturbance, that sort of thing. So that's all I had to say. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we were thinking we could do this somewhat with Dreadfish interviewing me. But before we did that, we did want to remind you guys that you can call in and either ask us questions or add new material to the show at 646-200-4733. You know, maybe you suffer from an invisible illness or had a family member or a friend who does, and you have some commentary on it. And we'd love to hear it. And again, that number is 646-200-4733. So again, as I said before...
Go ahead. I was just going to say it's always good to have different perspectives. We can talk about these things, and both of us suffer from an invisible illness, but we can't talk as deeply about some of these other illnesses because we haven't experienced them. So if you do have one that you would love to share with us, or you know somebody, who has one that you would like to share, then you're more than welcome to, and it would definitely contribute to the discussion.
Now, I did ask two of my friends or some friends on Facebook for some personal testimony that I can use. So hopefully I'll get a chance to kind of at least relating some of it to you guys. It was very just kind of very brief and hastily done. I was just kind of curious to see if I put the question out there, what responses could I get? And, you know, if I could incorporate it into the show. So I'll hopefully I'll be able to share some of those with you. I did want to add that, and I lost my thought. I tried to recover. I thought if I just kept talking, it would come back to me. But apparently that's not how it works.
Only sometimes.
Only sometimes. It's when it no longer matters is when it really comes back. It'll be like 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll have to like wake up my wife. I remembered the thing I forgot to say on the radio show, guys. I remembered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
what are you talking about?
So one other thing to mention, I don't know if you mentioned it while I was down, but tonight I know that you have to go to a class, so you'll have to end a little bit short, and I'll continue on the rest of the episode. But did you want to mention what you were doing tonight?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, my wife and I, you know, she's pregnant, so we're, you know, our baby's going to be due in July, and we've been trying to attend some classes from the place that our baby she registry is at. And tonight's a particularly important one. It's care and
labor.
Care and labor.
About labor.
So it's she was pretty adamant about me making this point. I mean, that being said, I want to go to all of them so that she doesn't really twist my arm the slightest. But she felt like twisting my arm anyways because she was pretty adamant about me going to this one.
Married life.
She also listened to my answer to that question and told me I got a gold star.
Yeah, there you go. That's the way to do it. So I
all
guess,
right,
we want to
see my friend's testimony first, because once I go to leave, you can still interview me while I'm in the car. So maybe I should just really quickly. And by the way, I did share a Facebook group in today's link. My friend runs an Invisible Illness Awareness page, and it's actually partially my inspiration for doing this episode. The there's 4 main parts for me doing this episode that inspired me to come up with the idea. One was the mental health awareness episode, and I thought that was very good and very inspiring, and it kind of led to this. Two, my friend runs this page, and I find the page very inspiring. 3, I suffer from Crohn's, and I've actually and having some of the worst flare-ups that I've had in a very long time. And then 4, and I remembered what I was going to say before but forgot, was the fact that I do suffer through an invisible illness means I can obviously empathize other people who do too. The issue with that empathy is that it can sometimes get, it makes it harder for me to have sympathy, and it's something that I've been personally working on, which is why I wanted to do this awareness episode, as part to educate myself and as a way to overcome certain feelings that I have that I know are not necessarily justified or warranted. And a lot of those are the negative stigmas we have about people who who are disabled by their invisible illnesses. And you know, the fact that I'm able to overcome mine does not mean that my symptoms are like anyone else, or that the treatment options that I've chosen are like the ones that work for other people. Or the situations are the same, you know. Pain tolerances can be different, and people can be experiencing differently more pain than you feel. And it is something that I've struggled with, this feeling of feeling jaded when I hear other people talk about their things and how it prevents them from doing things. And then thinking about how I've worked hard to overcome mine. But when I think about it, on some of my bad days, like, I think in the last month, I've missed every Monday because I was too sick to go to work for my Crohn's disease. You know, and there are people who have significantly worse cases than mine. So, I mean, it is something, and in New Jersey, by the way, it is something that you can get a disability check for, which is so kindly pointed out to me by an RF member. I think it was Dustin. But I could be wrong. All right, anyway, always, I wanted to share some of that personal testimony I received. So I'm just going to very, very, very loosely kind of share what they said to me before. Oh, I had way more conversation than I thought I did. All right, well, my one buddy, and he's a veteran. He suffers both through bipolar, and he has a slip disc, or two slip discs, and leaving him obviously too disabled to work. But he looks like a normal, healthy, young adult. And again, it doesn't mean he's not, you know, suffering through some physical ailment, and he is, very clearly, and he's not some lazy turnabout either, and which again, people treat him, and he actually claimed to me that since he also suffers from bipolar, which is, again, mental illness is another invisible illness, which is why it's partially inspired by last week's episode. And his biggest issue is also, he thinks about himself as a lazy turnabout because he's too physically disabled to work, but he seems okay, and, you know, so, I mean, there's he has two struggles going on with it. You know, the fact that he's too hurt to actually work there, and then the fact that he's not mentally able to deal with that. And, yes, he does also receive people who, you know, judge him based off of that. And then my other friend, and she's already acting on stage, so I'm hoping she might call in later. I don't know. She's saying she wasn't feeling well, so I'm not sure. But she has MCPD. Which is a mixed connective tissue disease. And I know she suffers from lots and lots of pain and finds it hard to get treatment options. It appears we have a caller. So I think I know who this is, so I'm just going to bring him on. Is it Don?
Yes, it is.
All right, I'm psychic, guys.
I've been listening to the show, and the minute I said it, I'm like, I'm on the line right now. I've been on hold for a couple minutes listening. But, yes, I have mixed connective tissue disease, which took 10 years to diagnose. I was misdiagnosed with fibromyalgia for 10 years and chronic Lyme disease. It's MCTD is an overlapping autoimmune disease. In my case, they know I have lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, as well as mild Raynaud's phenomenon, which is a vascular disease that affects the blood vessels in usually mostly the hands and feet. They'll turn blue and white in colder temperatures, but it's not as severe as other cases. It does cause a lot of pain. I haven't been able to work since 2002. Excuse me.
Zintai.
As I said. What's that?
Zintai.
Thank you. And as I told you before, my voice has been pretty raspy. That's actually from rheumatoid arthritis. The bones in your neck become inflamed and it causes problems. It inflames the vocal cords as well. So I had a bit of a failure with a medication experiment back in March, and I'm still trying to get back to my typical normal.
Now, do you find social and cultural understanding and acceptance to be a big issue for you?
Yes. There's nothing like chronic illness to learn who your real friends are. Yeah, I had a bit of a semi-remission for about 2 years. I was able to go back to school. But even then, I would still miss classes because I would have flare-ups, but they didn't last as long. But I got really sick in 2012 and almost ended up in the hospital, and that's when I was finally diagnosed. but not being able to go out all the time or hardly any time at all, most people just stop calling, stop coming around wanting to go out. I lost touch with a lot of people. Most of my family doesn't think I'm really sick, or they believe I'm faking it and just collecting off the government so that I can sit home and do nothing all day. It's kind of frustrating. But yeah, I mean, it's a common misconception. You look fine on the outside most of the time, but when you're not working, or if you're having a better day where you're able to go out and do stuff, instantly you're just another mooch off the government, when I would love nothing more to be able to go out and work, even if it was at McDonald's. I was a mechanic before all of this, but I wouldn't even mind a job at McDonald's if I could, because it would get me out of the house.
You're a very skilled mechanic.
What's up?
You're still a very skilled mechanic, or at least it looks like so on Facebook.
Yeah, I need help with when I am able to do anything, because my hands and back, but I know how to do it. It's physically being able to do it that is the problem. And even if I went into any kind of remission, I still need pain medication, and it's too big of a liability. Nobody wants to hire somebody in a shop who needs to take medication like Vicodin to keep pain levels under, you know, certain tolerance to be able to function. Opioids and machinery don't exactly go well together, even if it's something I can work with. It's an insurance thing.
Yeah.
That is a good point. Now,
I found that there's a lot of things people tend to take for granted. Like my wife, I think one of her biggest complaints about with me is that when we cuddle, I need to lay on top of her, and she wants to lay on top of me. But either she's laying on like my abdomen, and I'm bloated constantly, or she's laying on me and I'm so bloated that I can't even like lay still, you know. So I have to, like, my entire intestinal tract is just like just uncomfortable, just constantly throughout the day. So like, we get to cuddle, it's still long enough to cuddle with my wife, you know. So I mean,
I can't even imagine that. I mean, I know myself. I'm constantly shifting just because of the pressure on my joints.
And you bring up joints, and that's another thing. You know, I say I have an autoimmune disease that attacks, you know, my digestive tract. But I actually have two other symptoms that have nothing to do with my digestive tract. I get skin rashes, and I also get joint pain and muscle. I actually had thought that was because I used to be prescribed Adderall. But when I've looked into it, it's actually related to the Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about that is it is a non-degenerative form.
Okay.
Which means
all autoimmune diseases in some way, shape, or form can... basically, when it comes to autoimmune diseases, what happens is your immune system can't differentiate between healthy cells and tissue and foreign invaders, and it starts to attack, whether it's your intestines, your joints, your muscles, and it takes its toll. So... It kind of makes sense. Some are definitely more damaging than others.
Absolutely. And then each individual case needs to be assessed. Like,
one of the most interesting about looking up Crohn's is food restriction. Now, sometimes I need to restrict my diet, other times I don't. For the most part, I find that eating a healthy diet is the best diet for me. But a lot of times, some people have certain symptoms with their Crohn's disease, so they can't eat anything. They can't totally. They can't eat salads, they can't eat fruits, or they can't eat cheese, or this, or that. You know, and obviously not being able to eat certain foods leads to you being unhealthy, period, because you're no longer getting the proper nutrition.
Exactly. And good doctors will... Vitamin deficiencies are also extremely common. And good doctors will test for those, and supplements are very common to make up for those. And as you said, you know, learning what you can eat and what you can't eat. Obviously, eating healthy is good for everybody, not just those with autoimmune diseases, but there will always be certain foods and drinks as well that will make us feel worse. You know, whether it be Crohn's disease or lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or anything that causes our symptoms to get worse. And for some people, diet doesn't have any effect whatsoever. They can eat anything and everything they want. And those are the people that I'm jealous about. Jealous. It's always a process.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Crohn's disease could be that severe that eating things like salads would be difficult. So that's a lot worse than I realized.
Sometimes it could even lead to surgery. Sometimes it requires having part of your intestines removed.
I didn't have
if
that.
If it's left unchecked long enough.
I didn't have this surgery when I was a child because of my Crohn's disease. I had to have a polyp removed. And I was in middle school, I think, maybe at the oldest, maybe elementary school. I was pretty young. Again, I'm lucky in the sense that I've had less complications as I've gotten older, where usually people don't even find out until they're like in their, like, sometimes even their 40s and they develop onset symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
I have a coworker who just recently got diagnosed with it. You know, it can be scary. I've actually read a statistic that terrifies me. 70 to 80% of all people with Crohn's disease have surgery for it.
Wow.
I didn't realize the number was that high.
Yeah, I read in a book I got from the doctors a while ago. It was like a Q&A type of thing by a doctor. And like I read that, like, it just terrified me. Really terrified me.
Now, is there a known cause for Crohn's disease?
Not a known one, I don't think. I think
with any autoimmune disease, there's no known causes.
There are a multitude of causes, which is another issue sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you can have genetic or environmental causes for certain conditions. So it's still kind of an unknown area.
Yeah, that makes it all the more frustrating.
Mhm. And there have been instances, you know, they are finding that genetics plays some role, just like environment may play a role. But in all the research I've done, genetics seems to play a role, but it's the same thing with mental illness. You know, you may have a relative who has depression or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, or a relative who has rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, but that doesn't always mean that another relative will develop that, you know, but they may go on to develop something else in the same family.
Right.
Or in some cases,
yeah,
develop more than one in that same family.
Yeah, like in the case of schizophrenia and bipolar, many psychiatrists and psychologists now think they're actually linked and on the same spectrum. And so, yeah, some people may have somebody with schizophrenia in their family, and they may develop bipolar disorder as a result.
Exactly. A girlfriend of mine, the woman who actually created the Invisibly Ill Facebook page before turning it over completely to me. I helped her with it, and then she turned it over completely to me, was the one who did the research on mental illness, most of it. And she's the one who really delved into that research and found that, you know, if a relative has schizophrenia, another one may go on to develop bipolar disorder or anxiety disorder, and back and forth. And I found the same links with autoimmune diseases. It's like they're all kind of in the same family, or family members may not develop them. It's just kind of having the right triggers, essentially, to bring them out. And what those triggers are, scientists haven't quite figured out how that
works.
It seems
generally you can inherit a genetic predisposition, and then that might not, you know, that might not mean that you'll actually develop it, but you're more likely.
Precisely.
Well, I think part of the issue is that there's too many correlations right now, and we don't really know what's going on. Like, I've heard something as crazy as statistically people who are C-sections are more likely to have Crohn's disease. I'm a C-section baby. Okay, makes sense then, right? But what would that have to do with it? You need to go and look at causes and, you know, or whatever, so... there's just a little bit too much of, almost too much information and not enough real detail on anything like that.
Yeah, and I think
and
often
there's not enough research.
Leading. Yeah, epidemiology,
just,
I think, is not very, it's not very accurate sometimes because there are so many correlations, like you said, that you can't really pin down the cause.
And the funding isn't there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I read a different statistic in the book I was talking about. It's generally there's a 7 to 9% chance that that my child will have Crohn's disease. So my research said it was 2 to 6. But either way, it's still single-digit numbers, which I found surprisingly low, and be good news. Which goes into the fact that, I guess, you know, there may be a genetic component, but that's not the whole story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It might end up, but I think the truth is it's going to end up being that there is no one story for the question. Each case is going to have its own story. The different set of
and
genes,
everybody
different, different environment.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's case is different. You know, one case might be extremely mild and easily controlled with something as simple as prednisone, while somebody requires prednisone and biologic infusions and surgery and still be extremely miserable. It, while they know what it is, and sometimes it's easy to diagnose, no two cases are alike in any of these diseases. And unfortunately, you know, there's always that stigma because we all look fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be really hard for some people to seek treatment for certain conditions, like especially like chronic pain, but they tend to just be treated as like drug addicts sometimes.
even by doctors. And even if doctors believe them, the medical community and board is so hard pressed about writing these prescriptions, and there's no other alternative for people. That some of the people who suffer from true, chronic pain are completely unable to find the help they need.
Yeah, and if they do,
that's another huge problem.
Yeah,
and if they
end up using painkillers, they may end up becoming addicted as a result, and then you got two problems.
The addiction rate for chronic pain patients, the addiction rate to opioids is 3-5%. They become physiologically dependent, which is completely different than addiction.
Right.
But doctors are afraid to prescribe them because of all the new regulations coming down. Patients aren't getting adequate treatment, and they're suffering because of it. And trying to go to a pain clinic is absolutely insane. I've looked into a few. Some won't prescribe opioids at all. And a lot of them have such strict rules that if you see multiple specialists like I do, I have 6 specialists. And I looked into at least 6 pain clinics. It's a once a month. You have to see them once a month. Plus, you have less than an hour if they call, because they will call you in for random pill counts to make sure that you're not hoarding them or selling them.
Oh, random urine tests. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm about to get out. I just wanted to make sure before I left if either of you had a question for me before I left.
No.
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm sure I'll have more Stevie to say later, but I wanted to thank everyone and continue on. Have a good time. And thank you.
Yeah, have a good
class.
Thank
you.
Have a good
class. I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you.
See you later.
Bye, guys. Good morning, good night, good afternoon.
But looking into them, there's the random urine test to make sure you have just the right amount of opioids in your system to match your medication. And which, for me, I don't take them. Like, my one prescription says 2x a day is needed. My other one is 4x a day as needed. But I would, under their rules, I would have to take them 4x a day and 2x a day.
Hmm.
And just to make sure that the prescription, that they don't stop the prescription.
Because you may be, or they may think you may be saving pills to sell or something, yeah.
Yeah, selling them or hoarding them or anything else like that. I would have 45 minutes or an hour if they call me in to count them, to make sure that I am taking them or I'm not hoarding them or selling them. I'd have to pay for all my doctor's records to be transferred. If I go to the emergency room or the hospital and I'm given something else in that family, I have 48 hours to call them. That's even if I'm admitted to the hospital. I have 48 hours from the time I'm given that first dose of medication to let them know that I was given something else. And sign waivers so that they can talk to family, friends, and anybody in my life about my medication usage and my illness, just to make sure that I'm not abusing them.
Gosh.
And
so there's a lot of red tape to jump through to actually
change.
Wow.
Luckily I have a doctor that, is willing right now, because I'm not on anything that strong, but I still have to go and pick up the prescriptions every month and see her every 3 to 4 months for a checkup. But it's better than once a month. But if it progresses, I don't know if she'll continue. But, I can't imagine how, a patient having to go through that, because it's like having a job just to get pain relief.
Yeah,
and in an area
really.
Like this where there's no, almost no public transportation, taxi service is non-existent, I can't even imagine. And half the time, pharmacies don't have enough of the prescription in stock because of the new laws. There's only so much they can keep in stock that it takes 2 to 3 days for the prescription to actually come in. And it's because they're punishing, a handful of people who do abuse them. They go to the doctor, oh, I stubbed my toe, I need Vicodin, or can I have Percocet? I broke my finger, it really hurts. Or they go to emergency rooms for stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I had listened to an NPR program. They were speaking about pain medications and that sort of thing. But basically they had said that there's really no effective, good treatment for pain, over-the-counter pain relievers, we always think those are perfectly safe because they're over-the-counter, but actually, the NSAIDs like ibuprofen and aspirin actually do have the risks, and Tylenol, acetaminophen, that's actually deadly compared to an opioid. If you overdose on that once, you can destroy your liver just like that.
Yeah, exactly. And they think it was, 2 years ago? Is when they changed the dosing instructions and even changed it in prescription medications. The amount of acetaminophen in prescriptions. Not that acetaminophen does anything to begin with.
Yeah, I think they often include that with opioids, specifically to prevent people from taking it, to abuse it, like that.
In some cases, it helps more because it helps with the inflammation, but if somebody's going to abuse it and they want to get high from it, they don't care if there's Tylenol in it. I mean, it could, half the time, they're going to take a handful of pills no matter what else is in it.
That's true. If you're desperate enough, just don't care.
Exactly.
All right, so we'll get back to
this. Mine has ibuprofen in it.
What does?
One of my pain medications has ibuprofen in it, so.
Okay, so we'll get back to this in a moment. We're going to take a short break and a song. This is another song by Dionysius. And I believe this track is called Scent.
Thank you.
that track was called Santa by Dionysius. So getting back to the discussion, I think Dawn's call dropped. I think she may have thought I hung up on her whenever I put her in the screening room. So if you are listening, you're welcome to call back in. Now I'll continue with a few more of the invisible illnesses. We talked a little bit about mental illness last week. And in my case, the invisible disability or invisible illness which I suffer from is clinical depression and anxiety. So I'll talk about that a little bit without going too much further back into the mental illness category. In my case now, I'm taking medication, and it's actually working very well. I was very, very surprised and really grateful that the first one I tried, now that I've gone back into treatment, worked just like that, very easily, very few side effects. So that's nice. But before that, it was very difficult. You know, the only thing that would be apparent is that I would be lazy, disinterested, or anything like that. And sometimes anxiety is worse than depression. Looking back into college, I remember having to sit in class for just an hour, easy to do now, and I enjoy class, would be really difficult. I compared it to like sprinting a marathon. Like I had to endure that 1 hour in class. And it's just that feeling in your chest, so difficult. And nobody can tell that. They just might notice that, you know, I'm quiet, maybe I don't have much to say. And that was difficult in college, you know. People think about socializing in college. At that age, we usually try to establish ourselves socially and that sort of thing. So it was very difficult to be, basically feel like an outsider. And of course, I don't know if I was perceived that way, but that's how I felt. You know, I didn't talk to too many people. I do think that people probably saw me as aloof, maybe a little bit weird. And all that was just because of depression, social anxiety, things like that, which have all but disappeared now that I've taken medication. So, you know, with that, personally, I feel like it's easier on me whenever people know what's going on. There is the risk for social stigma. And as we talked about in the mental health episode, some people have had that issue whenever they've disclosed their mental illness to somebody like an employer. In my case, it actually worked out well whenever I told my employer back then. And I feel like it just helps me because then people know why I'm behaving the way I am and realize it's not that I want to be or that I'm weird. It's just that something's going on and you just can't see it. And in the case of college, I actually had to drop out of college because of the depression and anxiety. I could not stand going to classes, and I just absolutely could not bring myself to do homework. And, you know, homework, few people really like homework. I still don't enjoy doing it. I can make myself do it, and we all can. And, of course, there's some homework that we enjoy. But I just absolutely couldn't bring myself to do it. So that kind of thing could be perceived as lazy, just disinterested. And that just wasn't the case. It's like a gun with no bullets. Like, you know, you can aim at your target, but no matter how many times you pull the trigger, you know, you're never going to hit that target. You don't have the ammunition. And that's a lot. That's a lot like what that's like. So, and I've known a few other people with some invisible disabilities. And in fact, a lot of them are mental illnesses. I guess that's just my lot in life. I know a lot of people with mental illnesses, and I guess maybe that's why we know each other. But I've known people with bipolar, and my friend, she's a pretty close friend, actually. And her bipolar diagnosis, I think, was a little bit quick, so we're not sure if that's what she has. But on first view, you might just see her as being, you know, talking a lot, being very energetic, not paying attention, and you might just think that she's irritating. And that's not the case if you actually know what's going on. And that can be the case with anybody with bipolar disorder. They just might seem so energetic, maybe very narcissistic even, and it's all just because of a disability, really, or disorder in this case. I know a guy with schizophrenia, and you wouldn't notice that he has schizophrenia, but you know, he he has a very, what they call a restricted affect, the way he talks and socializes, a little bit awkward. And, you know, so it could be difficult for him to socialize, get to know people. But this is, again, just because of something you just don't see. Now, I also know somebody, we talked about fibromyalgia a little bit, and my mom has fibromyalgia, I believe. And again, we talked about chronic fatigue syndrome, and in fact, I'm not actually sure which one she has. She's been diagnosed with a few different things, and initially they thought it was Lyme's disease, which Dawn talked about. And so that involves being tired all the time, just not being able to have the energy. Normal activities can tire you out so much that you just don't have the energy to do more. And again, this can be perceived as lazy. You could be frustrated with such a person, like, you know, why aren't they, you know, able to do this? Why don't they want to do this? And, you know, whenever you understand what's going on, maybe you're still frustrated by it, but of course they are too. And you can't fault them for that once you understand. The difficulty with all of this is understanding and not knowing with the invisible illnesses. And then if you do know, we have the problem of potential stigma. Like Dawn was mentioning, people can still perceive you as, you know, talking about problems or making up problems that aren't really there. And again, you have the problems with seeking treatment whenever people think you don't need it or something like that. So I think, you know, again, with the mental health awareness, with this, it's the same. Like, I think it's very important to bring awareness and acceptance to these kind of things, to bring a sense of normalcy. Of course, it's not normal to have to deal with these sort of things, but they happen, and they're normal in that way. And the stigma is, it's so important to get rid of stigma for any kind of illnesses. You know, when somebody talks about having a food allergy, we think of it as being really inconvenient. But with other such things, we just don't have that same idea about it, and we might look down on it. One of the interesting things, we're talking about the chronic pain, there's a chronic idiopathic pain syndrome. And in this case, it's idiopathic, don't know what the cause is. According to PubMed.gov, chronic idiopathic pain syndrome is a common, disabling, and costly condition. It is believed to be of psychological origin, but may involve both cerebral and peripheral physiological mechanisms, and it's often associated with depression. And indeed, depression can definitely bring about pain, and you just don't know where it comes from. Scientists have found that emotional pain and physical pain are basically the same. And so, again, you know, just because somebody's feeling down or they have something you just don't know and they're in pain, you might think, oh, it's all in your head. But in fact, it is the same as physical pain. And it's important to appreciate that. And along with Crohn's disease, we have something similar, celiac disease. And this is also an autoimmune disorder. And people may be aware of this. There's a lot of gluten-free stuff we see everywhere now, and things that have always been gluten-free, but now they advertise it to be gluten-free. And specifically because with celiac disease, gluten proteins, which are in wheat and other similar things, I think, yes, mainly wheat, but some of the crops like barley and rye, these will cause a lot of problems in the digestive system. And celiac disease can be difficult. Very similar to Crohn's disease, I think. However, I don't think that it can be quite as serious. So there are so many invisible disabilities or invisible illnesses. A few other examples, some common ones, some you may have never heard of. In fact, allergies and food intolerances or allergies are, you know, they're invisible unless somebody tells you about it. And that can be very inconvenient. Arthritis, we didn't really talk about that exactly, but along with the chronic pain, you don't know somebody has arthritis until they tell you, but they're dealing with that pain all the time, every day. And in fact, cancer is not often obvious until somebody starts going through chemotherapy and they lose their hair, which is what we really associate as a visible symptom of cancer. We have chronic fatigue syndrome, like I mentioned, and fibromyalgia. In fact, diabetes is also invisible until somebody tells you about it. That's also very inconvenient. I know somebody who's diabetic, my friend's father, and, you know, I've seen whenever he's gone into, I think it was diabetic shock, and he would just get into a stupor, just kind of really, it seems like he's half asleep, you know, he's just not quite there, you know, and that can be very stressful. Diabetes can be very taxing to have to manage. We have heart conditions, of course. I've known some people with heart conditions. You can't engage in the same kind of physical activity as average people can. Very simple things like going upstairs can tire you out if you have certain heart conditions. Then we also have MS, or multiple sclerosis. I had a neighbor who had that when I was younger. For a while, you couldn't tell. And this is a degenerative disease, and it does get worse and worse. You know, so initially he just had to use a walker for a while, and that went on. They had to adapt the house for him, a sit-down shower, that sort of thing. And ultimately, around the last times I knew him until we moved, he had lost feeling in his extremities, so he would get a lot of cuts and bruises on his feet and that sort of thing, because you can't tell whenever you're actually hitting something or anything like that. So there are just so many of these. We could go into a lot more detail. And naturally, I can't really talk too deeply about these without personal experience. It wouldn't do it justice, and I just don't have that much to say about it because I don't know very much about them. So again, it's just all about awareness. I guess to do justice for the people who have to deal with these every day, to bring positive awareness about it and supportive awareness. And, you know, that can be difficult. We all have preconceptions, and it can be easy to judge people whenever you can only see things, but you can't feel it. You know, you can have an assumption about it. But until you have some sort of personal experience, it can be difficult to get rid of that assumption. So compassion, very important, I think. So that just about wraps it up for today. Episodes we have coming up. Let's see. Now, sometime in the near future, we do plan on having a religions profile episode about Islam. If any RF members who are Muslims would like to talk about Islam, just as in the same nature we talked about Zoroastrianism, if you'd like to discuss your faith, if you'd like to discuss Islam as a whole, what it means to you, and just the, you know, the actual points of the religion. Please let Itty or I know in a PM, or if you see us in chat, however you want. In addition, let's see. We still plan to interview Adremelech in July, I believe, or late June. And that's most of what we have coming up. We don't have anything planned for Monday. I know next Thursday I will be out and Itty will be in charge. So we'll see what comes up that day. As I mentioned, I have an internship this summer assisting in teaching some STEM subjects through summer camps. So I'm looking forward to that. In addition to that, I also have an online teaching course that I'll be taking this summer. So this Thursday I will have an orientation for that, which I have to attend. And they'll be around the same time as this. And again, a few ideas we have for the future. I still have this idea of doing some sort of cheesy radio play, and we'll be working that out soon, I think. So if anybody's interested, if anybody has an idea, if you want to contribute in any way, let us know. And if you want to contribute in any other way, let us know. You know, just like the forum, the point of this show is the interactivity and the community. So if you have anything you want to contribute, if you have a subject you want to talk about, or a subject you want us to talk about or somebody else to talk about, let us know. If you have music, let us know. We'll play it for you. If you have any art, let us know. Maybe you have some sort of written work, some poetry, a story that you want to read. You can read it on air, or you can pre-record a segment for us. Now, we do still have segments from Well Named and Lewis Not Miller in the works. Lewis is currently busy with work, so he's taken a hiatus on that. You know, his segment's very, very good, and that takes a lot of time, so it's understandable that he needs to take some time off of that for work. And Well Named is also pretty busy with work lately, so hopefully we'll be having him back next week. If you have any segment that you would like to do, weekly, biweekly, monthly, or just a one-time thing, let us know. We want as much participation from the community as possible. You know, the community is what makes this possible and worthwhile. So if you have anything you want to contribute in any way, let us know. We're also still looking for somebody to help us out with social media. We haven't really been actively involved in that lately. We've been talking about it and haven't gotten around to it. So if you or anybody you know wants to help us out with that, then let us know. Basically, I can't emphasize enough how much it matters to have participation from other people. You know, Itty has work he's busy with. You know, I'll be working with its internship. We all have things to do in our day-to-day lives. And talking for an hour can be easy or it can be difficult depending on how much material we have. So it's just more fun and more interesting to have more input from more people. So that wraps it up for today. As Itty said, good night, good morning, good afternoon, and good now. We'll try to do better next time.